Our next speaker is from East Liverpool, Ohio, and I just had the pleasure of meeting him this afternoon. But from a very good friend of his, I've learned that he is one of the so-called spark plugs of AA, particularly in his own group. So it gives me pleasure at this time to give you Fred P. of East Liverpool, Ohio.
Thank you. I don't know whether I can get this down low enough for me or not. There, thank you. Chairman Ralph S. and fellow delegates of the third annual Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous. Dick here has just mentioned his great achievements in Middletown, like his great basketball team, which we had discussed for a few minutes before he spoke, and his AA, which he is very proud of. Well, I must say a few words about East Liverpool. If all you people can recall, that East Liverpool is known for three things. Now we have a fourth AA, of course. But East Liverpool is known as the town of City of Hills and Kills and Beautiful Women. I got some of them with me tonight. However, I will try to give you a brief resume of the origination of AA in East Liverpool, Ohio. As a member of AA for 13 years, and as a beneficiary with you of our three legacies, unity, service, and recovery, I am personally happy to bring this witness to history and development of AA in East Liverpool, Ohio. The Ceramic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous was formed in East Liverpool by a man named Jerry R. in the fall of 1943, because he felt there was a great need for its program among his friends. He had some good friends. At that time, he had been sober for 2 years and had been attending meetings in Lisbon, a small town out of East Liverpool. Jerry was tireless in his efforts and spent much time and money in getting this group started. However, in spite of all this, only one meeting was held. And I believe the man that spoke at that meeting is with us tonight, and his name is Norman Y. There just wasn't enough interest to keep them going, but Jerry kept working, and in the spring of 1946, we started a meeting in our homes. This continued during the summer, and by September of 1946, regular meetings started at the YMCA with six members. From that time to the present, there has been a meeting every Sunday evening without exception, even when the meeting fell on a holiday, including Christmas. Our secretary is elected from the floor for a period of 1 year. The chairman is appointed by the secretary each month. All business of the group is handled by a five-man steering committee, whose members are appointed by the secretary for a period of 3 months. At present, all our literature, with the exception of The Upper Room, is ordered from the AA Publishing Company, New York. Our members receive it free, including The Grapevine and The Upper Room. Before our meetings, we've established serving coffee before the meeting, and we have found that's been a great help. The fellows like to sit around and talk about the problems of the past week. And we found out that it's very good. It works out. Some, of course, want to cry, and someone wants to tell you how bad his wife treated him and so forth. But anyways, he's up there. He has to unload it onto somebody. And, of course, I'm usually the goat. I'm the smallest one there. And after the meeting, we serve a little lunch, donuts and coffee, or maybe some big-hearted wife will bake a cake once in a while. Makes it taste pretty good. And we have several cover dishes a year. And then we try to have our annual banquet, of course, in September. There's been at various times we've been offered large donations of money. It was, of course, declined in accordance with AA traditions. This is hard for outsiders to understand, for they have a great desire to help with such a worthy cause. At one time, we were given free radio time in our local station as a public service. It was a 15-minute program and continued over a period of 3 months, taking the form of a panel discussion on 12 steps and 12 traditions. The broadcast was handled by the members of rotating in groups of five. We found out with that little 15 minutes, we had a lot of inquiries. Of course, we had a lot of domestic inquiries. Yeah. You'd have thought we were running a domestic relation court. One fella called me, told me to come up right away. He was going to shoot his wife. I says, "Brother, you're the guy that's pulling the trigger, and your guy's going to pay for it." But I did go up, and he had shot up the stairway, and probably to scare his wife, I don't know. But there's some of those things that you have to contend with. Our membership has increased from 6 to 35 members. However, many of our old members do not attend meetings because they have ceased to feel the personal need. New members have taken our places, and the average attendance remains about the same, 35. Some of the former members did not get the program and dropped out. Several others have remained sober without attending meetings. Then there are a few who come occasionally, but break over often, you know those kind. These, of course, we do not count on our active list. In the past, there has been dissension. Our group started to grow, and one fellow thought that somebody was Mr. AA, and you know how those things are. Anyways, it developed that as a result, only on two occasions, groups formed, two different groups. Once it was a stag group. But now we're all back together with one group, and all our meetings are open ones. We found out we couldn't do without the wives. Because they wash the dishes, I guess. And we didn't like to wash the dishes. At the present time, we have no women alcoholics in our group. However, we have several former members who are still sober and who have done a great deal of good working with other women. Now, I know two of the members. One has got 12 years, and I know the other has 9. AA seems to be quite a problem for women for some reason. I don't know. They just don't like to admit the things that us fellows are proud of. I don't know. I know my wife used to call me a drunk. Now she calls me an alcoholic. So she has modified it a little. You know, we have all kinds of characters, of which all you probably groups have the same thing. You know, one fellow says he'd be tickled to death to join the AA if he got a quart of whiskey and taken care of every time he got drunk. So I thought that was a pretty good idea, too. In summation, we have 25 members with a continuous record of sobriety. There are 18 who have from 8 to 13 years. And Jerry R., our founder, has 15 years, probably 16 now. And there are 7 with 2 to 4 years to their credit. Then there are 4 of the oldest members who have not been continuously sober, but who are very active in the work, and whose sobriety has continued over lengthy periods. Of these 4, one has a record of 11 years, one of 10, and the remaining 2 of 9 and 8, respectfully. We feel that we accomplish a great deal just by staying sober. For who knows what influence we may have on others who still suffer from alcoholism. Concerning influence, Dr. A. Gordon has written in his book, In My Education, I have never known a single human being to attain any marked development of inward strength who did not link himself with the circle of higher spirits. Carlyle and Emerson lived in great personalities and devoured themselves as daily food, and thus nourished themselves in power through which they influenced the youth of three generations. May I tell you briefly to conclude of how the influence of one member of our ceramic group has nourished the lives of others as he has advanced in our three legacies. His membership dates back 13 years ago. His first contact with AA was a confirmed alcoholic. At that time, he was unable to hold a job. He was a continuous problem to his wife and children. He was not a responsible citizen. His family situation finally led to divorce and separation from his children. Then a friend whom I know well introduced him to AA. Today he has been sober since his first contact. His fellow citizens hold him in high regard. He is easily one of the most effective members in our group. A friend to men in need. A living, breathing, walking, working example of unity, service, and recovery. This is the kind of nourishment and degree which each of us has received from AA, and the night passes, and the coming dawn is filled with light and promise. I thank you very much.
Fred, remarking that he was so short to talk into this microphone, reminds me of a midget friend of mine who had a peculiarity. He would go into a bar and climb up on the stool and order two shots of whiskey. He would drink one and pour the other one into the breast pocket of his coat. And the bartender, of course, would look at him rather peculiarly, and finally the bartender, being the next heavyweight prize fighter, asked him, he said, look, just what are you doing? So the midget jumped up onto the stool and he said, now, I don't know if it's any of your business, and about one more crack like that out of you and I'll come over there and get you. And about that time, a mouse stuck his head up out of the breast pocket of his coat and he says, and that goes for your cat, too.
We hope you enjoyed this recording. Please check out our website at sobrietytalks.com. You can also contact us by sending an email to sobrietytalks@aol.com. Thank you.